The 24th Problem by Janiah Riley. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. Act 1. Precedent. Chapter 1. The World of Steel.
The Era of Her Benevolence. Empress Fairy Pyxis. Imperial Research Vessel Paratus. En route to Colony World 508.
Arania Circuit set, and the workspace closed in around her. An absolute economy of space warranted by the requirements of interstellar space travel and the conflicting needs of the rest of the ship. A combination of laboratories, computer processing facilities, and the omnipresent military trappings that existed under the flimsiest pretense of self-defense. As a result, the bit carved out for her own personal use was hardly enough to move around in. A hard push in her chair would carry her all the way from one end to the other, and the amber light of the multiple monitors above her desk shone omnipresent in her face, to the point where it gave her a migraine if she sat for too long. No matter how many sweeps she spent in the confines of research ships, laboratories, and various underground facilities, Arania never quite got used to the way that her whole body started to feel cramped up after sitting in one place for too long. It was asking a lot from herself to remain still for more than an hour without having to get up and pace around her workspace, letting the weight of her ponderings trail off behind her as she went. There had been, as far as she was concerned, an unusually large number of ponderings lately, those involving a certain hyperlight message that had been broadcast with the kind of encryption normally reserved for the highest echelons of Her Benevolence's military intelligence. Arania closed her eyes and stretched her arms up above her head, leaning back in her chair until she felt something shift slightly with a light pop. And that felt better, didn't it? Felt like she was a little bit more awake, a little bit more alive than she had a moment ago. Because the truth of the matter was that the whole transit had her bored nearly to tears. If it weren't for the onboard entertainment and a significant backlog of her own work, the process would be completely insufferable, made no less so by the vague nature of the hyperlight message itself.
Class Zero special artifact discovered. Request Imperial Science Officer dispatch. Please advise.
That was the whole of it. Buried under 5 layers of military-grade encryption tech and 500 light sweeps of distance between the small, gray-blue ball that Arania called home, and the barely habitable world on the edge of nowhere that was simply referred to by its number and nothing else, 508, said with a kind of casual disdain that was almost exclusively reserved for discussions of the various outer colonies and their inhabitants. Not so much the jewels in the Empress's crown, but more... Arania opened her eyes and stared at the ceiling, trying to think of an apt enough comparison.
"It doesn't matter. Not even worth the attempt," she muttered, halfway under her breath.
"Major Circuit, ma'am? Pardon?"
A voice from the doorway to her office. She hadn't heard them come in, but she recognized the voice of one of the junior officers that served as part of the bridge crew. What was her name? Scalpy? Scaldy? Something like that. Arania let her gaze drift over to the junior officer, a jade blood with a pair of uneven horns, crooked and barbed on one side and smoothly swept on the other, wearing a hideous pair of pink-framed glasses and uncomfortably clad in the deep green service uniform that buttoned up in a way that didn't exactly look like it was designed with an actual person in mind. This woman must be new, probably assigned right out of the Imperial Academy and promised that she'd be a research assistant or some such nonsense. Not a position that Arania had ever been in herself, but she had enough wherewithal to understand the plight, at least. No matter. It would make dismissing this unwelcome distraction from her own aimless rumination all that much easier.
"Yes, Lieutenant, Scalby, that was the woman's last name. Lieutenant Scalby. I was just, thinking out loud. Was there something you needed?"
"The captain wants you on the bridge."
She had this nervous energy to her, a kind of inherent unease with herself. Arania nodded and turned away from her, back towards her work, but the lieutenant was still standing in the doorway.
Lieutenant? Yes, well, Major Circuit, it's just that he said this is urgent.
On the edges of Arania's conscious mind, she could feel something tickle at her, just the vaguest sense of what this jade blood was feeling. Just enough to be worrying. Something to think about later, she supposed. Arania closed her eyes again, focusing into herself, on the headache that was beginning to spread like a stain behind her eyes. Of course. Tell Captain Shigizi that I'll be there shortly. Without opening her eyes, Arania listened to the sound of the jade blood shutting the door, then to the faint sounds of her boot heels clicking along the metal corridor until they were no longer audible. Only then did Arania risk opening her eyes, staring back at the burning monochromatic plasma of the display in front of her. Class Zero special artifact discovered. Please advise. The headache only grew worse as Arania walked down the corridor that led to the ship's bridge. Above her, the overhead lights and their badly calibrated ballasts hummed electric, the buzz growing louder and quieter as she passed underneath each light. Each light that was somehow purpose-built to drive her insane. This was why she kept a series of simple diode lights for her office, to avoid the pain of the hum buzz that buried itself in her skull and refused to let go, no matter how much she clawed away at her own scalp. Instead of dignifying the lights with the response they so clearly wanted, Arania stopped briefly to straighten her uniform, smoothing down the regulation tunic over the regulation slacks and picking a single thread of dark hair that had found its way onto her sleeve. The cerulean fabric had been freshly pressed that morning, a task that Arania trusted to no one save herself. And the dark suede fleet-issue shipside boots had been meticulously brushed and freed of any speck of dirt. Finally, Arania adjusted the sharply peaked officer's cap between her horns, setting it gingerly down and turning it until it was at the perfect angle. There were pins, of course, to help keep it in place, but Arania hated the feeling of them against her head. Besides, there was no wind on board the ship that would require such precautions. All preparations being made, Arania glared balefully up at the forever burning lights, narrowing her eyes down to slits that barely cut down on the way the light shot to the back of her retinas where the headache was growing, festering in the recesses of her skull. Her eyes fixed back down the corridor, Arania began to walk again, her dress boots tapping out a march as she walked. Click, 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 left, right, left, right. She hadn't had to march in formation since her time at the Imperial Science Academy, and even that was a mere formality to someone of her station. And then there was the time at command school graduation, she supposed, a newly minted captain among newly minted captains, all grinning and doing their level best to keep pace. A sea of cerulean faces, assured of their own place in the Empire's grand plan and... Arania frowned, her memories bleeding away to make way for the present tense once more. She reached the end of the long central corridor and turned a corner, putting her in the hallway that ran parallel to the bridge. Near the center of the hall, along the left wall, was a door that was guarded around the clock by a pair of olive bloods from Fleet Security, both of them standing a good head taller than Arania and wielding battle rifles that were chosen as much for their intimidating looks as their ability to punch clean through someone wearing full-body reactive combat armor. Major? The guard on the left side greeted her, and both of them saluted. Arania returned the gesture, already handing the guard her pass.
Sergeant, I'm here to speak with the captain.
Yes, ma'am. Please hold one moment. The left-hand sergeant responded amicably enough. All pleasant business until he wasn't, Arania supposed. He picked up a handset, wired into the door, and spoke quietly. Major Circuit is here, sir. Then a pause to wait for a response. Then the handset was returned to its cradle with a, "Yes, sir." "You can go on in, ma'am." And that was that. The door hissed open, parting in the middle, and Arania stepped through onto the ship's bridge. The bridge itself was situated near the middle of the ship, tucked down behind the protective bulk of several layers of armored plating, intended to receive most of its input from monitors and sensors that lined the room. On one end, there was a single observation window, made of triple-thick reinforced duraglass and warded against impacts by a blast shield that could drop in place in a half second. Everywhere else, the walls were lined with a combination of monitors that fed from cameras around the ship and plasma displays that showed various readouts and informational graphs in the same burnt amber that her own personal workstation monitors used. Standing in the center of it all was Fleet Captain Galak Sigizi. He was easily a head and a half taller than Arania, with horns that looked like a wriggler's drawing of a pine tree. It was an impression that Arania might have found comical if it weren't for the dour way that the man stood, his fleet uniform pressed to hard creases and his hands locked firmly behind his back. Even though he was referred to as a fleet captain due to his position at the head of the ship, he technically held the rank of major, putting him nominally on the same level as Arania, at least in the most broadly theoretical sense. In practical terms, his position on the hemospectrum as an indigo blood and command of the Paratus put him well above her. The captain was looking out the ship's observation window as Arania entered the bridge, staring out at the dead ultra-black that signified that the ship was currently in hyperlight transit. When Arania was still in the academy, she'd heard rumors that looking out a ship's window for too long when you were at hyperlight, looking out into the ultra-black for too long, would cause you to go insane. This was, of course, bullshit. It was no more true than to say it would drive you mad to stare at a blank piece of black paper, but the effect of being surrounded by a complete absence of light was still an unsettling one.
"Sir, you wanted to see me,"
Arania said, putting a confidence behind her voice that she rarely actually felt. Galak turned his head halfway towards her, not really looking fully at her, and nodded once.
"Major Circuit."
A crisp nod. Then he turned back to the flat black outside, not even bothering to make eye contact with her.
"We're scheduled to come out of hyperlight soon, which will put us within a few hours of our destination. My helmsman estimates that we will arrive within a night's time."
"Yes, sir."
This wasn't exactly news to Arania. She had expected that they would be arriving soon enough, even if she wasn't aware of the precise timing.
"You will, of course, be making landfall with our advance team."
"Yes, sir."
More old news, she was, as far as she knew, the only science officer assigned to the Paratus. But Galak wasn't finished.
"In fact, you will be leading the advance team, making contact with colony leadership, and arranging for the transportation of the artifact back to Imperial Core space, assuming it is feasible to do so."
Arania felt her mouth open, but nothing came out. She was glad that the captain wasn't looking at her. She had assumed she would be in contact with whoever was handling the artifact and its evacuation, then, assuming the magnitude of the discovery warranted it, documenting the find and arranging for further study when a proper team could be dispatched.
"I'm sorry, sir. Arranging for transportation?"
A curt nod from the captain.
"Yes, Major. Her benevolence has taken a particular interest in this matter."
"Sir, if I might speak freely."
"I don't see why not, Major,"
Galak said with a shrug of his shoulders.
"Why? This is highly unusual procedure."
"You are welcome to take the matter up with her benevolence at some future point in time, if the opportunity arises. For now, suffice to say that you will be availing yourself of whatever resources the colony has available in order to facilitate recovery and transport. The colonists have assured us that you will have their full cooperation."
Arania blinked heavily and tried to focus on what the captain was thinking, on the meaning behind the words. It felt like trying to push against a magnet with its polar opposite. She could get close enough to feel the resistance, but no further. Maybe if the captain's mind was less organized, or if he hadn't received the infamous intrusion resistance training that senior officers underwent, but there was nothing more she could glean beyond the implication of circumstances and tone.
"Yes, sir. I'll begin making preparations right away."
There wasn't anything else she could say, really. She saw the captain nod again, wave his hand at her, and she was dismissed without ceremony or fanfare. She managed to make it all the way back to her office before the headache hit her full on with everything that it had at its disposal. Arania curled her legs up to her chest, sat in her chair, and pressed against the inside of her eyes, right up by the bridge of her nose. She squeezed tight, pinching and rubbing her fingers in the way that sometimes provided at least temporary relief. There were other more reliable methods, but one of them hinged on a sometimes matesprit who was 500 light sweeps back on before us, and the other relied on drugs that would dull her consciousness to a point that she found unpleasant under all but the most dire circumstances. Why couldn't she shake the uneasy feeling that was rattling around inside? There was no reason to believe that anything about this mission was unusual, beyond her benevolence's particular interest in whatever this thing was, and given that no one had any more information than the most vague initial reports from the colony, it seemed that was more likely a simple whim and nothing more. And wasn't the most revered, most esteemed empress of a galaxy-spanning civilization entitled to the occasional bout of whimsy? Arania couldn't fault her for that. She groaned and shut her eyes even tighter as the headache blasted its way down the base of her spine and into her neck. She could practically feel the muscles locking up, wished she had somewhere to go where she could simply relax, other than a tiny office and an equally tiny berth assigned to her in the ship's officers' quarters. But at least her room was relatively quiet and it was dark, and that was about all she needed at the moment. Captain Shigesi had put them at a night out. That would give her time to get some rest before doing her final preparations. Not that there was much she could do before reaching the colony and finding out exactly what had warranted a hyperlight communique in the first place. The matter was, at least for the time being, settled. She would go to bed early and inform the officer on duty that she was only to be disturbed when they arrived at Colony 508, or if a genuine emergency required her attention. Then she was going to turn all the lights off, drape a cool towel over her eyes, and make some attempt to ignore the problems of the moment for a few hours. The rest, as the saying went, could wait for the evening. For the text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Janiah Riley. The music is Cycles, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can also find other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.